WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Gobblers, hens, jakes, miniature Herefords, and red foxes. Wow. What a two-day turkey hunt. Shout out to Joey Lista. Thanks for having us, you know, lovely Dee Marie. That was a great time. We have a really jammed show. Welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final weekend in April, April 27th and 28th. Really jammed show. We're going to be talking summer flounder with Captain Peter Clark from Marine Fisheries. Next two segments, and also exciting news coming from Mustad Fishing. Let's get to the trout numbers. It's pretty much wrapping up for South Jersey. On Monday, the 29th, North Branch of Natidicon gets 320. South Branch gets 500. Toms River, 530. The TCA, the Toms, not going to be stocked. And Pahakon Lake gets 480. And Pahakon is done. Now, they just stocked it the other Friday. It's jamming with fish. It's all, let's see, I counted 11 cormorants. They're eating well, but there's still plenty of trout to be caught. Now, for the North Branch and South Branch of Peacock and the Toms, you have to wait till 5 p.m. On Tuesday, the Shark River is going to get 270. On Wednesday, May 1st, Southwest Branch of Rancocas Creek, 180. Then Crystal Lake gets 420. And Crystal's done. Thursday, May 2nd, my Ponder Lodge. Ponder Lodge gets 370. That's done. Tuckahoe Lake gets 420. That's done. The Cohansie will hit with 100 again. Remember the one stocking point. And Gloucester City Pond will get 100. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Hang on, man. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Okay, the one Hereford's name was Margie. She liked me. We'll be right back. Hold on, Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Okay, Tog, season's winding down. As of today, you have, what, four more days, the 30th. The matter of the chatter, all the shops I'm stopping at, even inshore, picking up, hitting some of my trout and bass spots. They're talking about the May 4th opener of the summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke season. Early opener down here in South Jersey. We're loving it. Loving it. Stone Harbor, Strathmere, Boston City, down here, Wildwood, man. Early season flounder. Now, this weather has been such a funk master. I mean, I'm talking to some of the party boat captains. They don't know what's up. But, hey, man, I want to get a prospectus on the season. And who do you call for that? The number one man when it comes to fluke and tog and arbor and sea bass, of course. I call him the Sebastian of sea bass. Peter Clark, marine fisheries biologist, DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Peter is also the head of the incredible New Jersey Best on the Planet Universe Artificial Reef Project. We're going to talk some fluke the next two segments. Admiral, how the hell are you, man? Are you excited or what?
I am. You know that. Anytime a new season opens up, I'm ready to go, man. It's exciting stuff.
You know, so next year I'll be giving a Happy New Year, okay? Next Saturday, a Happy New Year. But right now this is the pre-Happy New Year. And the only time Pete gets even more excited, hey, man, well, talk too, but sea bass. When sea bass opens at 17, Peter, he is bouncing off satellites in the universe of saltwater fishing. Well, Pete, let's get to the flounder. Now the regs, it's 3-18. We were at the meeting. It was great seeing you again. And, man, that room was packed. Whoa, we're standing. They're out in the halls, Pete. So let's talk right now to 3-18. I understand the continuity of it. So go into the harvest aspect of it. Now, listen, it's three at 17 in Delaware Bay and two at 16 Still Island Beach State Park from the surf. But the 3-18, Pete, I think that works.
Yeah, for 2 years we had, and again, for 2 years, our anglers of New Jersey chose that slot option where it was two fish 17 to less than 18 and then one over 18. And, mixed reviews, right? I think during the period of time, folks enjoyed that type of an option, but realized that they were really curtailing their opportunity to harvest those larger fish, which seemed to be pretty abundant. So after 2 years, the folks, again, anglers of New Jersey, chose out of six options. I just looked it up this morning, before we got on the call. I think I ran over 65 iterations of options for this thing. Our advisory committee, our Fluke Sea Bass Scup Advisory Committee, whittled those 65, 70 options down to six. And so on the table, again, we had slots. We had different, options for guys on the beach. And at the end of the day, they chose, the famous 32 option, which right. was it took 4 days off the season, right? It starts 2 days later than previous years, and it ends 2 days earlier. So not a big loss as far as season days open go. And they went with the three fish bag, 18 inches continuous size limit. And it seems that, again, this was overwhelming, Tom. So, yep. The process where we have advisors, the advisors bring their option to the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council. The New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council looked at a poll that they had conducted with anglers around the state and even outside the state. And it was overwhelmingly the majority looking at that 32 option. 70% wanted three fish at 18 inches.
And that was overwhelming, man.
Yeah, so now we've got it. I think we're going to be in good shape. All indicators right now up and down the coast are saying that there's fish available. I spent a lot of time on the water. I was just recently yep. out doing our ventless trap survey on our reefs, and I was pulling back into Shark River, and there was a guy, they're already catching them.
Yeah,
they're there, right? So that's great, and everybody's excited. I think the Back Bay guys are going to have a really good crack at them here on May 4th. We get a couple of those warmer days and up into the skinny water, and it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
Captain P, let me tell you something. I call him the Admiral, but he is the Admiral. Okay, Admiral Clark, let me tell you something. The shops I hit, they're not able to keep. Listen to me, this is this early. This started about a week and a half ago. The 3 and 4 inch gulp shrimp in the various colors and the gulp 3 inch and 4 inch swimming mullets, they can't keep them on the pegboard. Doesn't matter the color. The white and the glow, but for the shrimp especially, the natural, the multi, P is crazy. And also, listen to me, those little peeler crabs.
Yes.
No, we opened up some keepers that me and the lovely D. Marie caught Back Bay. There were 17, 74, 70. Pete loaded with little crabs. And there you go, man. They like crab imperial, too.
Yep, sure. Absolutely. Who doesn't, right? Yeah, I mean, who knows what the magic color is going to be this year. It's it was, what, pink shine last year?
Not on to me. That was And the thing that gets me is I talked to Johnny Pratt, a great friend of Rack and Fin Radio, me and the industry personally, professionally, known for 20-something, 30-something years. The for example, the nuclear chicken, that stuff like that. The curry chicken was hot for us last year. They still have that luminescence in them where he says, Tom P., and also I was surprised with the new penny, the brownish white thing.
That still
shows up in 50 feet, 60. They still have the iridescence in them. But for some reason, that pink shine was a cat's ass, man. In a 4 inch. What the hell?
Yep. What was the blue one was really good, too.
Blue fuse. God, I sound like a Berkeley commercial. Well, Pete, listen, let's get to the health of the fluke stock. I don't want to get into some Back Bay stuff. Then the next segment, want to talk the reef and the structures later on when the fluke ref. Oh, listen, you got some great reefs for area rugs and doormats, I'm telling you. But, Pete, the overall fluke biomass, what do we have, man? What's the situation?
Yeah, so, we base our stock assessment indicators off of things like spawning stock biomass and targets and thresholds. And, the target is where we want to see the stock. The threshold is where, the stock drops below that threshold. We have to take draconian action to try to recover it. And so right now, we just went through a stock assessment in 2023, finished up, and all indicators are showing that summer flounder is not overfished, but it's experiencing overfishing, which means that we're not quite where we want to be on the target. We're at approximately about 83% of our spawning stock biomass target. Each year, the good news is that we've been pretty effective at managing and meeting our harvest target, our recreational harvest limit, mm-hmm. not exceeding it. But because we're not at that target yet, we're taking these smaller cuts. And of course, we're under some new management strategies that were recently implemented through fisheries management plans and addendum, where we're using harvest control rules and percent change approaches, which are all new terminology for us as managers and for the folks hearing us talk about it throughout the state. What these strategies do is they minimize these giant swings, right? You remember in the past where we were taking 40% cuts or we were doing 30% liberalizations the next year.
Right.
This minimizes that, you know, the magnitude of those actions, right? So now we're like a 10%. This year we took a 28% reduction, which was better than it probably could have been. And honestly, it doesn't feel like a reduction to many people, certainly to me. 3 fish at 18 inches isn't the end of the world.
I think Exactly.
So, look, at the end of the day, you know, we make these management changes to try to achieve targets, right? And I think I'm hopeful that we'll have been able to reduce enough of our harvest to where we increase our biomass to where we want it to be along the coast, right, effectively. And at the same time, look, we know that these fish are available. We see them. We're seeing them already. The season hasn't even started, and we're seeing them already showing up in the back bays. In fact, I've been talking to some good friends of mine that are charter boat captains. You know, they've got guys that are dropping cameras to the bottom, checking things out while they're out on the pod grounds, and they're seeing fluke piled up, waiting to make their charge inshore. So it's it's going to happen, man. It should be pretty good. Should really be pretty good.
Yeah, George Online is Admiral Peter Clark. He is a marine biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Marine Fisheries. And we're talking fluke biomass in the upcoming fluke season, which opens May 4th. It's a long season. Runs from what, September 25th or 27th or something like that? So that's a long time, man.
Yeah, September 25th. And how it is, Tom. Yeah. Towards the end of the year, we've been really fortunate the last couple of years where we haven't had that severe weather come through in September. If that happens, then, you know, God forbid, we might end up closing pretty, you know, before the 25th effectively. They won't be there, you know. But if this year is like the last couple of years, that fishing in the ocean in September has been nothing but lights out. Oof. Absolutely amazing fishing in the
people,
ocean.
People, he ain't lying. Take it from me. I don't witness that. People, we're up against a heartbreak. It's Peter Clark, Admiral Peter Clark. Next segment, Peter, I want to get to one thing next segment. Then we'll get to the some of the hot reefs early, you know, as the season progresses, and some back bay stuff. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Peter Clark, Marine Fisheries. Fluke time.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
This is Bullet Points. I'm Tom Graham. Undermine America's constitutional right to keep and bear arms. That's what the conservative group, the American Accountability Foundation, is saying about some of the biggest institutions on Wall Street. The group released a report recently calling out several companies, including Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, for using their control over capital to undercut gun manufacturers and organizations that represent gun owners. The group sharing a memo with Fox Business writing, over the last decade, significant media attention has been paid to the left's obsession with using banks and asset managers to end fossil fuels. Unfortunately, very little attention has been given to the left's use of certain banks to chip away at legal private ownership of firearms. Goldman Sachs was unavailable to comment, and both Wells Fargo and Bank of America didn't have an immediate response. And those are your bullet points. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Harry Hurley with a special offer from my friends at Ambient Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning Professionals. Get your air conditioning system checked now. That's right, now, not when you're sweaty and miserable. The sooner you discover a problem, the easier the repairs tend to be. And while the price of just about everything has gone up, Ambient Comfort's tune-up special is the same affordable price, just $59 for new customers, and well worth it. Their certified technicians will perform a thorough precision tune-up on your system to make sure it's safe and running at maximum efficiency, prepared to get you through the summer heat, regardless of who originally installed it. When comfort matters, choose who I choose. Choose Ambient Comfort. Schedule your tune-up now at AmbientComfortNJ.com. That's AmbientComfortNJ.com, or call 609-568-0955. That's 609-568-0955 for your $59 AC tune-up for new customers. Tell them Harry Hurley sent you.
I'm Erin, and this is My Life with California Closets. I purchased a historic home that's over 150 years old. One of the biggest things old houses don't have is closet storage and organization. And in a modern life, you really need to store a lot of things. Working with California Closets was the only way to get exactly what I needed. It really makes my life better. I finally have my dream home, and I couldn't be more thrilled about it.
Schedule your free design consultation today at CaliforniaClosets.com.
Go for the pulse and the pools. Go for the hot streak and the hot tubs. Go for a relaxing massage and for wild nights with your entourage. Go to play all day and to dance all night. Go for the rooms with the ocean views that go on forever. Go for paradise with a pair of dice. Go for the win. Go to Ocean Casino Resort. Book your trip at theoceanac.com.
Must be 21 or older. Party responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get it slippy, cup it, check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
It's time to think spring. Replacing worn windows and doors not only saves money on energy bills, it makes your home look new again. Call Frank Vincent Windows and Roofing for a free quote today. Take advantage of 0% financing for 18 months. Call Frank Vincent today at 609-641-2389 or go to FrankVincentWindowsAndRoofing.com.
Frank Vincent Windows, siding and roofing, and make your home look new again.
Where will you be when disaster strikes? This is County Executive Denny Levinson. Consider becoming a volunteer disaster response crisis counselor to assist individuals and communities in their time of need. Be part of the Emergency Response Network. No clinical background is required. Receive 22 hours of state-certified training to help educate, support, and inform those impacted. Call 609-645-7700, extension 4519, to learn more.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 27th, 20th. Man, that fourth turn of the calendar. The lovely month of April. Got him. Hey, we've been just a fishing. Okay, we've been concentrating primarily freshwater. It's just been off the charts. Again, some of the rain, some of the rivers high, whatever, but overall, the bass, the pickerel, the crabs, the trout, it has just been fantastic. But we're talking fluke right now with Peter Clark, Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Flounder season opens next week, and we want to know, Pete, the two ugly words always, they're factored in management dates, what have you. Release mortality. Give us a lowdown on that, Pete. How does that fit in the mix?
Yeah, so release mortality has certainly been, it can be an issue. And, you know, not so much for fluke this year, but some other species like scup and sea bass have really been experiencing higher levels of release mortality Not so much in New Jersey. So you probably remember, you know, we dropped our size limit from 13 to 12 and a half for sea bass, and doing things like that certainly helps release mortality. Mm-hmm. Right. So if the fish that you catch can go into your cooler and die, that's, you know, that's better than them going back into the ocean and dying. So as a rule of thumb, particularly for fluke, we use a 10% release mortality rate. What's that mean? Right. So it means that, for every, you know, if you catch 10 fluke that are released, one of them will die after it's released. So the goal is to find that magical balance where you're not running through 100 fluke to keep your three, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to minimize the number of fish that you ultimately have to handle to get to your bag limit. And that effectively decreases the amount of discarded dead fish. So those are the balances that we're always looking for. You know, we went from a slot to two slot fish up to a continuous size limit this year. Mm-hmm. And what we're thinking is going to happen, again, looking at length frequency distributions of fish that are available to our anglers, what we think is going to happen here is, yes, we are going to interact with smaller fish, but we're hoping that by moving up to a continuous size, we're going to see less frequency of throwing back fish. So, you know, instead of getting your two slot fish and then you're hunting around for that 18-inch fish, we're considering that we'll end up interacting and catching more of those keeper-sized fish quicker.
Bingo.
Thus reducing our amount of dead fish that we're throwing back. Dead fish are great in the cooler, not in the ocean at the bottom.
Well said. Well said, Peter Clark. KP, let's get to now. We mentioned those are the back bays. Personal is my shout-out to Captain Al Cadelli and the Bayhound way back when, instead of going trout when I got down to South Jersey, instead of wetting a line over there at Dennisville Lake for some stock trout, he said, let's go flounder fishing. Flounder, wonderful. No, summer flounder. Took me up behind, what's that, Townsend's Inlet there. What's that, the Avalon Yacht Club. Nailed a huge fluke over. I said, it's only the middle of April, man. Maybe the third week in April. So they are in the back. Pete, now, how long are these a big fish? How long will they stay in the back? And when will they, generally, as water temperature, daylight, whatever, the switch goes out. Now, you mentioned, Pete, that your guys have seen flukes stacked up outside. They'll still be outside, you know, a week from now, I'm sure, plenty of them. Are those fish catchable? Or they have on the mind, let's get to the back bay, do what we have to do, fill up there, eat up there, and then head out. What's the dealio?
Yeah, so what they're doing is they're staging up to come into these bays and start spawning in the warmer, shallower waters. And that's when we're interacting with them in the back bays, right? So that's when they become available in those, you know, those shallower water spots. And it's an effective time to catch fluke. Even those larger size fluke, they're going to be in the back bays May.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and they're looking again, they're looking to stay warm. The water's, you know, 50, 55. Once we start seeing that water temperature jump up into the 60s, they're going to start exiting. You know, that's usually mid-June-ish, mm-hmm. sometime around then, that we're going to start really seeing them pouring out, and they're going to be hitting the reefs, right? We've got reefs all up and down the coast, right outside the inlet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the reasons that we situate them where we do, around inlets, is so that as these animals, you know, a lot of things are using estuaries to spawn, fluke being one of them. And as they come out, they finish spawning up in the estuaries or in the back bays. And as they come out, they have a refuge. They have habitat. They have somewhere where they can feed. They can hide. They can, you know, take up some residence for the summer. And that's, you know, one of the key features of our reef program. Folks don't have to look you know, far and wide to find great places to go fluking once they start coming out of the back.
And Pete, I know the reef system is fantastic. I want to get into your picks for some, again, with the specific flounder structure, what they like in the reef program, what you guys use, you know, reef bolts, what have you. But Pete, there have been times that we've caught fluke when I talked to the party boat guys and some of the charter boat guys, that they're catching fluke in open sandy bottom. What's that all about? I thought they were primarily a structure-loving fish.
Yeah, so they are definitely a structure-loving fish. They need some kind of refuge, right? So when we are out in open sandy bottom, it's not a flat open sandy bottom. I mean, relatively speaking, on a large scale, there's sloughs, there's, you know, there's deep depressions that these things are hanging out in, ridges that they're standing or, you know, hiding behind, getting out of the current, waiting for prey. They're ambush predators, after all, right? So they're laying in the sand, eyeballs sticking out, and waiting for something to come swimming by with the current, and then they ambush them and they start feeding. So you're absolutely right. When we're fishing those sandy areas, not sticky stuff like on the reefs, right? We're fishing in areas that do have structure, whether it's structure in the terms of a slough, structure in the term of a current change, that's all considered structure for these animals. So that's why you're finding them in those areas.
Okay, Pete, on the reefs themselves, I mean, you have tugs, you have scows, you have the reef balls, the caisson gates, whatever. My thing with TOG, they love the tanks. TOG love tanks to steal whatever. What kind of structure have you seen all your years as a charter captain, as a marine biologist, and as just a sport fisherman going out on other boats as well, that flukes seem to prefer, especially and where they're just going out, they're starting to settle in? Where do they gravitate to? What type of cover?
Right. So a lot of times with those other species, TOG, sea bass, scup, things like that, we're looking for high vertical structure. For fluke, you're really not concentrating on that super high stuff. I mean, you could fish the edges of it, but really what we're looking for is the lower lying structure pieces and the edges of that structure. So things like concrete reef balls you mentioned, fantastic. Concrete casings like culverts that we put in, that some of those are absolutely amazing. If you can find ways to bounce up over the top of those and around those, lights out, a lot of the big concrete slab rubble that we've deployed over the years is fantastic. There's a lot out there. Don't get me wrong, some of it is evil bottom, but if you can find the stuff that
well put, you know, Clark.
If you can find the stuff that's a little bit, not soft, but a little less snaggy, drift right over the top of that, you know, and those types of things. Yeah, you might lose some bucktails here and there, you know, trying to drift over the top of stuff. But, you know, you shouldn't be buried in this structure anyway. You want to be fishing right off the bottom and digging that bucktail with your gulp on it. So those are the types of areas that you should be concentrating on. Edges, the lower lying stuff, which, you know, was plentiful all over our reef system. All 17 of them have great stuff like that. And, you know, you don't have to be buried on the bottom. They live on the bottom. You come up 12 inches, 16 inches off the bottom and work that bucktail, those doormats come right up off of it, and they'll be hanging before you know it.
Pete, cleaning up the doormat. Pete, back to let's bounce back to the bezo. In my travels last year and some fishing, I saw plenty of keepers in that slot, but also fish 18 to 23, 24 inches that were caught in the back bay in late August, early September. Will some of these doormats, for lack of a better term, you know, the 5-6 pound fish in that range, will they set up housekeeping in the back most of the summer, just finding deeper holes? What's the deal?
Absolutely, they will. Absolutely. I mean, it's just like anything, right? We have a majority of migration coming out of the back, not 100%. We all know that. Everybody, you're waiting. You're a boat fisherman. You're waiting for the bridges to open, and you're catching fluke, right? And it's the middle of August. So, to answer your question, 1,000%. There is a good portion of fish that are going to remain in those rivers, the back bays, the estuaries. So doing just what you said, they're finding some deeper water, they're finding the edges, not necessarily up in the super shallow stuff, but you're going to definitely be able to come across them in the back bays as the season keeps going on and on and on. You don't have to go to the ocean for good fluking in New Jersey.
Well said, Pete. I want to go to the forage a little bit, then get to another quick talk before we have to let you go. But forage, I always ask guys, you know, I see them at the cleaning tables, okay, can I look in the stomachs? It's a fascination I had since I was a kid, looking at what fish eat. Yeah. I don't think there's anything in the back, save for maybe a burr fish, that a fluke won't try to eat. I've seen blowfish, I've seen pretty much everything in her guts.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that they can fit their mouth around is the way I see it, right? So you're absolutely right. Crabs, they're different fish, you know, the silver sides, anchovies, obviously, all that stuff. You know, mud crabs, you find everything in the gut of a fluke in the back bay. Figure out what they're eating and just match the hatch, right?
Captain Pete, you are a proponent. I'm going to yank on your sport fishing antecedents here. You are a proponent from talking with you, fishing with you, and people who have fished with you. Big bait, big fish, like the 8-inch gulp grub, 6-inch gulp grub, things like that.
Yeah.
Do you find out there, have you ever caught a big fluke on a more diminutive bait, like a small little 4-inch thing or just a killie or a little squid?
100%. I mean, I've got guys that won't go anywhere close to a 6-inch gulp, and they, you know, I think if you present a bait to the right fish, you're gonna get bit. It doesn't have to be a 6-inch. I prefer to use 6-inch all around on my rigs, but that's personal preference. It's just like anything, Tom, right? I mean, you got guys on the boat and they're all catching fish different ways. It's just a matter of personal preference, in my opinion. 6-inch gulps can get expensive when you start leaving them on the, you know, on the bottom here and there. So yeah, you know, 4 inches are certainly very good. I'll switch it up sometimes, do a 6-inch gulp on the bottom and a 4-inch up on my, you know, my top hook. Oftentimes they're hanging on that top hook because, like I said before, you know, I'm too close to the bottom with my jig head. If I move it up a little bit and don't fish in the bottom, don't scrape the paint, then, you know, they'll be hanging on the jig.
Peter Clark, thanks for joining us, listeners. Fluke season opens next week, and it's going to run through September 25th. Get out and get on the water. Early season, Back Bay, tidal rivers. I mean, the fluke are there. They're already stacking up, as Pete said. They're coming in middle of June. They're on their way out. So you get them in the back, and you'll get them out front. It's going to look like an incredible season. All on the weather gods. On the weather gods. It does depend. And, Pete, oh, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, what do you have? Okay, thanks.
Hey, Clark, check it out.
Yo.
You're back on in a couple of weeks with the Sea Bass Prospectus.
Now we're talking.
Well, Pete, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tom, before you jump off, I just if you can remind your viewers to pick up our regulation cards. They're new, hot off the press, the laminated ones. We're find them at the tackle shops.
Great.
You were saying you were looking for some. So, get everybody out there. Get a card in their hand. It makes it easy for remembering the regs.
Absolutely. Listen, and I had word just the other night that the Marine Digest will be available around May 10th. Did you hear that too, Pete?
Yes. Yep. That's the word on the street. Yep.
Hey, Pete, real quick, give the lowdown on that new. It's been out a year or so, but on the new reef book.
Yeah. Well, so we're actually due for an update, but we've got over. What did I do? 1,800 new coordinates on the current guide. Google New Jersey Artificial Reef Program. It'll pop up our website and our program. The guide is towards the bottom. You can find every single reef. You can print out the entire guide. You can pick a reef that you want to print out. It's really cool, man. The new version is awesome. It's online. It's a great compliment for anybody's chart plotters. So keep it on the boat and have at it, man. Start exploring those things. There's a lot of great structure down there.
Admiral Clark, we salute you. Thank God there's no cameras in here because I'm giving them two head salute. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when it's Sebastian time, my man.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it.
Take care, be the best of the family. Good luck next Saturday.
Thanks, Tom. I'll catch you later.
Yep. Captain Peter Clark, man, great guy. Hardcore fisherman, marine biologist, one of the best in the biz. Hey, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Mark Levin.
So if you're voting Democrat, you're voting for open borders. You're voting for fentanyl. You're voting for a party that will imprison, if it can, its political opponent. You're voting for a party that supports Hamas, supports the United Nations, against the United States and Israel. You're voting for a party that appeases communist China. You're voting for a party that embraces communist Cuba and communist Venezuela.
Mark Levin on South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. Tornadoes struck parts of Nebraska and Iowa Friday. In Lincoln, Nebraska, a witness described the damage in cell phone video he took while driving.
That's a strong tornado. Lots of debris in the air.
Injuries, but no fatalities are reported. Former President Donald Trump's hush money trial is set to resume Tuesday in New York City. Outside of court on Friday, the former president calling the case election interference.
This is all a Biden indictment. It's in order to try and win an election, political opponent, and nothing like this has ever happened.
Trump also blamed the president for his legal troubles, calling it a well-coordinated attack on a political opponent. In New York, President Biden told SiriusXM's Howard Stern he would agree to debate the former president, Donald Trump, this fall. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Some sun and turning cloudy for today, the high at 60. Mostly cloudy for tonight, low 49. Sun and clouds tomorrow, the high 81. Partly sunny, warmer on Monday, high Monday at 89. Tuesday, partly sunny, warm, a thunderstorm for the late afternoon, the high on Tuesday at 85. I'm AccuWeather Steve Williams on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We're going on Rockin' Radio every couple of shows, especially during the spring, summer, into the autumn period. Showcase some new products, some new company, upstart companies, and some movers and shakers in the industry, especially as it's resurrecting is a little bit of a strong word here, but adding juice, adding some lighter fluid to what's going to be a bonfire of incredible products coming up. Mustad fishing. Okay, we know mustad hooks. That's the mustad is synonymous with hooks in the fishing world, fresh and salt water, various other products. Join us on the line right now, very special guest. I've known this gentleman for decades from his tenure in the fishing department at the Sportsman Center in Bordentown. Long live the Sportsman Center. It folded up its tent, about 5 or 6 years ago. Went from there to the repping part of the industry. I believe it was with Daiwa. From there, became a mover and shaker in pure fishing. We're going to discuss some of his bit of his tenure there. And now is, very happy to say, he is the regional business manager for Mustad Fishing. Now, also under the Mustad umbrella is Tough Line. Great line there. And also Live Target, some badass bass baits. Join us online. Very special guest. First time on Rack and Fin Radio, Christopher Gatley. Chris, an honor to have you on Rack and Fin. Long time, bro.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a while.
And the one thing I wanted to mention with Chris on the lines, you can hear he had a great fishing show called The Arden Angler years ago. Chris, I used to listen to that. That was something, man. You had that going.
Yeah, we had it going for a little while, me and my buddy Ray. Yeah, it was good.
That was a lot of fun. Of course, let's get to, okay, your ascension through the ranks to where you are with Mustad Fishing. We had some great stuff coming up. But you were known now for the past years as one of the movers and shakers in the pure fishing end of things. Some of the things like formulating colors for the Berkeley Gulls. Go into your tenure there for a bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really started when I was a full-time charter fishing captain out of New Jersey, freshwater as well. So it really gave me a lot of background to develop what I wanted as a charter captain and what people needed for fishing. So when I was able to get over to the Berkeley camp, which is one of their companies under the Pure Fishing umbrella, I was very fortunate to have been listened to develop some of the newer colors that you see. Now, we've always had that white and white glow and chartreuse, but some of those other colors like mackerel and salmon red and some of those other top performers, we really brought to light. The salmon red was a little bit different. That was available in Australia before it came here, but I knew all about it because it was such a high producer from the fluke sharpies that were buying this stuff from Australia. I was able to convince the company through my successes just to offer it here in the States, and it kind of blew up there for a while. And
man, that's an understatement, Gatley, especially that salmon red. Oh, my God.
A lot of fluke tournaments were won on that color before it was available in the U.S. I can tell you that. I saw it firsthand with some of my customers that that used to hire me, they would win some of those big money tournaments. But that craze was good, and it just sparked a lot of good other colors that came out, and a lot of other opportunities from that camp. It was good, but all that information has gotten me to Mustad Fishing.
Absolutely.
And working with designers, that we have all brand new designers at Live Target. So that's exciting to work with, and they're developing a lot of freshwater bass baits, but then they're also developing some stuff for next year and the year after for saltwater. So
Whoa. It's
going to come right back to my roots of what I know and what I've learned from being on the water for 15 straight years.
Chris, the struggle is a little bit of a strong term, but getting in with the designers, the scientists and engineers, everything that's involved in finally producing a bait and getting it to the dealer pegboards and shelves and whatever, that must be some frustrating times in between all the to the eventual success. No.
Yeah, I'm sure every company's different, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the fishing companies are really small, so they have to utilize their networks and their captain networks, their buddy networks. And in some cases, you're dealing with engineers, people that understand plastisol or hard plastics and lead and tungsten. So when you get an engineer or a guy that understands that from their perspective, and you're trying to get it from a layman's terms perspective, it's just how do you communicate it and make it efficient and make it so that it can hit the peg at retail. Even the best product in the world may not sell if it's not marketed right.
Exactly right.
Too high.
Uh-huh.
I've even seen it where things are priced so low that consumers are like, well, that can't be. It can't be. There's a lot of complexities to it, but at the end of the day, what I'm really fortunate for, even with the new Mustad designs and the Live Target for that matter, is we fish everything before we bring it to market. And if it doesn't perform, it doesn't get put out on the peg. And I can't say that for every company. Now, there's a lot of good companies that do field tests, but then there's a bunch of companies that don't. And they just push stuff to market. And that's when you start to see maybe the plastics are too stiff, the quality control is not as good as it should be. But we're a small company at Mustad Fishing, really small. And we're global, but we're small. So we have meetings, like we had a meeting in Florida 2 weeks ago where the entire company came. And if there was 30, there was 28 people.
Wow.
So you really have good discussions, good debates. Mm-hmm. You have the ability for people to really bounce ideas off so that you can weed out all those quality control issues or what isn't working, what is working. It's a really good collaborative effort.
It's fantastic. Doing us online is Chris Galley, regional business manager for Mustad Fishing. Exciting times coming to Mustad, Chris. You could feel it out there. People talking at the tackle shop level let me put it out there. Hey, Gatley's with Mustad now. I heard that. I said, when did that happen? This was some months ago. I said, oh, boy, things are going to be shaking there. And, Chris, we talked off air some exciting new products coming, being formulated. It's going to be a great future for Mustad.
It really is. And we launched, and this is before my time. It was in development before I even got here. But we recently launched the Alpha Point, which is a longer needle-like point. So mm-hmm. any true fly fisherman that has been using the new style Mustad hooks is very accustomed to this Alpha Point. But the steelheaders up in New York are having rave reviews about these bead hooks that we're launching at ICAST this upcoming year. I have about, I think, 20 captains using them. Some big, big shops, even the Addicted Fishing guys out of the Pacific Northwest are the designers of it. We really paid a lot of attention to it. And we're bringing that to salt water. We actually have the Notorious hook, which is some of my buddies are calling it the tog hanger because it's just death. And it's that's what these guys are calling it. And I can't get enough hooks for them. So
what a problem to have, huh?
Yeah. Well, they started using it last fall, but there's a shop in Delaware, in Lewes, Delaware, that just loves the hook. He can't straighten it out. He can't he's just enamored with it. He's been fishing with it in Florida, and when I told him that my buddies up here in Jersey are calling it the tog hanger, he just started laughing. Was like, you bats. I'm like, they're the ones that are calling it, not me.
Because I want to mention something too. You mentioned the tog here, but what's becoming super popular in Jersey, I guess they're moving, well, they call it Sheepshead Bay in New York for a reason, people. It's not the climate. The fish are moving back to their former homes. Sheepshead fishing, especially in South Jersey, I'd say from, I give it Barnegat Inlet, you know the area, well, Chris, Barnegat Inlet down to Cape May, becoming extremely popular. Now, you mentioned, I saw it in Fishing Tackle Retail, one of the trade books. You guys have a badass hook that you're saying the Sheepshead people down south are loving it. Will that be available up here?
Yeah, it's actually currently available now. So the hook is called the, I think it's pronounced Isiama. It's Isiama. It was available actually in the standard Ultra Point, the green and white packaging, but
right.
It probably didn't get its due. Now it's available in the Alpha Point. So you have that longer hook point, super sharp, quick penetration. The guys in North Carolina, Texas, they're the shops that kind of alerted me to it. They saw it at the past shows this past fall. They loved it. They started getting it, and they're the ones that are reordering it, and I'm just bringing it into New Jersey. I think Sheepshead fishing in Jersey has really gained a popularity.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got that one gentleman, Dan Schaefer, that really blew up the jigging aspect to it. And he's kind of brought it to light. And now there's a lot of folks fishing off piers, maybe that can't get on a boat, rock piles, what have you, and they don't want to jig for them. They want to use clam or fiddler crab or whatever they're using, and they're going to go with a standard hook. So what's already been happening to the south of us is coming into New Jersey. So that Isiama hook's a great choice. They're using a 1020. Some shops are using a 3.0, or their customers are using a 3.0, but that Isiama hook is a sturdy, stout hook. It's forged for extra strength, and it's just a top performer, so it's going to do well here at retail.
Okay, Chris. And, Chris, with the Sheepshead, that's going to be a monster. Also, Triggerfish, they have the same, looks like dental structure. They can crush a hook. I've had hooks broken, absolutely broken, so this new Mustad hook series should be an ace. But, Chris, I want to jump to the freshwater side. You're an ace freshwater angler. Listen, his list of creds is so long, I neglected to mention Chris for years and years was the Offshore Report columnist for the Fisherman magazine. Does it all, from bluegill to tuna, whatever, trout to tuna, whatever, however you want to say it. But, Chris, I saw on the live target base, you have some incredible bass lures out or coming out, especially I was really hyped on these hollow body sunfish, 3-inch and 3.5 inches. They're going to crush bass ass, man.
Yeah, that product's been in line for a while. The nice thing about Live Target is we really try to match the hatch, so we make things look as identical as we can get them.
Oh yeah.
So what's been really good is those sunfish, especially in some of these well, all of our bass lakes, they all have sunfish in them. But as these fish start to come up and spawn in the later spring here, early summer, the bass are going to follow them right on in. So if you can, match that hatch and match that coloration, you're just going to, up the odds of you catching the bigger fish. What's really cool coming out here this summer, I'm actually going to go out and fish them today a little bit. We have gizzard shads. We have more sunfish patterns coming with an integrated core technology. And this is going to be something really unique, especially in the crayfish. I really like the way it looks like in the crayfish because it looks so alive. But the sunnies and the gizzard shad to the human eye look fantastic. We'll see. We had the cold front come through overnight, so maybe we won't get too much luck today. But I'm going to definitely swing those gizzard shad. Up on the pond up here, a good 5-inch and 6-inch gizzard shad, aiming for those bass, kind of staging to start looking for their spawning grounds.
I'm thinking Union Lake. I'm thinking Parvin Lake. I'm thinking Alloway's Lake. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's going to be something.
I'm thinking some other lakes with bigger fish.
Oh, yeah. That's you, Chris. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us. We have Chris Galley, Regional Business Manager for Mustad Fishing. Listen, anything you want to know about Mustad, go to Mustad Fishing. Google it, and you'll see a very expansive, just great stuff. There's even a line, Chris, which I neglected to mention because, I'm a light tackle freak. You have a nice line of spinning rods out there, bro. I'm going to be checking some of those out, bro.
But we're a hook company first.
Yes, absolutely. Chris, thanks for joining us. Listeners, came through the ranks. He is now a powerhouse with Mustad Fishing. Great crew there. Again, go to Mustad Fishing, Google it, and you get all the information you need. Chris, thanks for joining us. Hope to get you on air sometime, a couple more times at least this summer. Will you be out for the early fluke bite?
Oh, of course. I just don't tell people I go.
Yeah, don't follow Gatley's boat. Chris, you take care. Best of family. Have a great season, man. I'll see you on the road.
Thank you, sir. I certainly will.
Take care, man.
All right, bye.
Chris Gatley. Yep, from Sportsman Center to he's a name in the industry. Very proud of him. Very proud of this guy. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, two politicians on opposite sides of the political aisle have launched a project to understand the state of American anxiety. Hear about the initiative to restore the common good. Also, the workers outside Silicon Valley who say ketamine and psychedelics can boost performance at work. And debating whether the middle seat should get the armrests on the plane. That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Wrapping up this final weekend in April with me, Tom P., on Rack and Fin Radio. Just a couple of announcements. The Ocean County Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs is hosting a Sporting Clay shoot on Sunday, May 5th at Red Wings Sporting Clays, 317 Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. Shout out to Roger and Danny and the crew out there. The sign-in is at 8 a.m. The shoot starts at 9 AM, 65 for adult, 35 for 16 and younger. Includes 100 rounds of clays at 15 stations, hamburgers, hot dogs, cold beverages. Bring your own shells and no single shot shotguns. Info at OCFederation.com. And a shout out to Critter down there, Seattle Bait and Tackle. It's going to have 100% cash payout fluke tournament. The more people who sign up, the bigger the pot, says Mike. No limit to the payout. Registration is at 7 a.m. Saturday, May 11th. It's a May 11th to May 12th tournament, two-day tournament. Entry fee is $30 for everyone. No youth discounts. Hey, business is business. First place, 70% of entries. Second place, 30% of entries. Third place, prizes from Sea Isle Bait and Tackle. Great rod and reel combos, gift bags, tackles. It's going to be low. Calcuttas are 100% payout. Heaviest weak fish takes it all. Heaviest bluefish takes it all. If none of those are caught, it's going to be they're going to just pick some numbers out of a hat. Must register in person at Sea Isle Bait and Tackle, 4120 Park Road, Fish Alley there in Sea Isle. All fish must be weighed at Sea Isle Bait and Tackle by 3 p.m. sharp, May 12th. Take it from me. When Critter says no exceptions, there are no exceptions. And every angler on the boat must be entered in the tournament. Again, no exceptions. More information, go to Seattle Bait and Tackle on Facebook. Hey, that'll do it. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. Get out there and enjoy. You are not promised tomorrow, as my lovely Dee Marie always reminds me. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.